Certainly is a wonderful blessing to be here this morning at Macedonia Church, and I'm so thankful for the good preaching that's gone on before, and feel the Lord has richly blessed us this morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to John chapter 9, where the Lord Jesus works a tremendously wonderful miracle. It begins in John 9 by saying, "And as Jesus passed by." You know, wonderful things always happen when the Lord Jesus passes by. Amen. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 18 where there's a blind man and he hears a big commotion. And he's kind of like, "What's going on?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And he knew Jesus had what he needed. And he said, "Oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, "You need to be quiet." But he wasn't quiet. See, the Lord had put a faith in his heart, and he knew where his deliverance would come. And he said, "Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what it said Jesus did? Jesus stood still.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Amen.
When the Lord Jesus stands still, and when he's standing still for us, and he healed that blind man and said, "Thy faith had saved thee." Beautiful things happen when the Lord Jesus passes by. Said as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, the Lord Jesus sees this man and sees that he's born blind, and Jesus sees the man, and he loves the man. But his disciples see a question.
Right.
You know, I'm a little guilty. We've got a few here in the legal profession here this morning, and I'm a probation officer, and sometimes when I see somebody that's homeless, instead of seeing the man, I see questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, wonder if he's on dope.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's been so mean and ugly to his family and stolen from him that his family won't have anything to do. I immediately see the questions. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus saw the man. And I need to do a little more of that. Instead of always seeing the question, Jesus saw the man. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, can you imagine that? Be hard to be blind at any point in your life.
Right.
But at least if you had not been born blind but later became blind, at least you would know some things.
Yeah.
You know what the blue sky looked like.
Yeah.
You know what the beautiful flowers looked like. You would have known what the face of your mother and your father looked like. But a man that's born blind, you could say, "Well, this color of the sky is blue. He doesn't know what blue is." So much he doesn't know. And this man had been born blind. His disciples asked him a question, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know, that's the way man kind of thinks. Sometimes man will ask a question and give a multiple choice answer, and all of man's answers are wrong.
Right.
Because they only gave two options. Said, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" Jesus said, "Both of those answers are wrong."
Right.
And I'll tell you, I look at the opinion polls of this world, and a lot of times what man says, I think all of it's wrong.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Neither this man has sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus is going to do a work in this man. And the Lord's going to bless him with a great blessing. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work." As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know, we've gone through times where not too long ago, folks, when it got dark, they quit working, especially if it was outside, the work ended. Now, we've seen some differences in our world today because of the great lights they bring to work out on our highways, and a lot of the work's done at night. But it hadn't been that way long. And Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He didn't say a light. He said, I am the light.
Amen.
You see, the Lord Jesus is eternal.
Amen.
He's always been, but his earthly ministry was just for a short time. His earthly ministry was about 3.5 years.
Right.
And look what all he did.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we've been talking about, it's been mentioned us being failures. And I'll tell you, as a minister, when I look at what all Jesus did, those 3.5 years, I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me for what little that I've done. The Lord Jesus' time was limited, and he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus always made the very best of his time, and he never wasted any time. And I would to God I'd waste less time in my life. The Bible tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. It tells us to speak with wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. How do we speak with wisdom? Have you ever had a door opened in front of you where you could have had a wonderful conversation and a God-honoring conversation with somebody and you just missed it all?
Yeah.
And then you leave that conversation and you said, I should have done this. I could have, should have said this. But I didn't redeem the time. The Lord gave me an opportunity. But because of fear of man or because of laziness or whatever the case may be, I didn't walk through that wide open door that the Lord gave me. I didn't redeem the time. But I may have wasted the time. But I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus never did that. Said, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing.
Yeah.
Now I think the Lord does a wonderful work in him. And one of the works the Lord does in him is gives him physical sight. And what a blessing that must have been. A man that had been born blind, who had never seen anything at all, now came seeing. The Lord had blessed him to see. But I'll tell you, it becomes very evident. Because this man at the end of this account is going to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus, his Savior and his Lord, and he's going to be worshiping at his feet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, the greater work the Lord had done in this man's life was not giving him physical sight. It was by giving him spiritual life.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, we're blessed to have all, if we're lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we have had that same internal work done in us that this man had done in him. The Lord Jesus said, neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. This man, from the day that he began seeing, would be a testament to the power of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, not only because he could physically see, but because of what the Lord had done in his heart, he was a testament for the power
of the Lord that had worked in his heart. And you know what? So are we. We are a testament to the power of the working of the Lord in our heart. We love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's because the Lord did a work in our heart. We have the desire to flow up, as has been preached unto us, to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to come up here to the high place, to the house of God. It's a testament that the Lord Jesus has done a work in your heart.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You see, that internal working the Lord had done in this man's heart, he had nothing to do with. He was passive in it. The work that had been done in his heart, that when the Lord Jesus born him again, when the Lord Jesus Christ gave him spiritual life, he had nothing to do with that. But I'm going to tell you, he does have something to do with the Lord blessing him with physical sight, because the Lord tells him something to do. And he's obedient. The power's the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord is going to be to give him physical sight. But the Lord told him to do something. He said, you go and you wash in the pool of Siloam. Question, what if he hadn't done it? Do you think he would have been sinned?
No.
I don't.
No.
And I'm going to tell you, the Lord, and it's already been preached to us here very ably, and Brother Harvey and Brother Chris both did very able jobs of touching on this. We have an eternal salvation of us being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, that we have nothing to do there, that we were totally passive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, able to do nothing, and the Lord Jesus, with his life-giving voice, gave us life.
Amen.
We had nothing to do with that. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of deliverances that the Lord also blesses us with in life that takes some action on our part, that takes some obedience on our part. And I'm going to tell you, if this man had not been obedient to what Jesus said, he would still be blind physically. The Lord Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Said he went his way. You know what this man did?
Yep.
He made his way the same thing as what Jesus said.
That's right.
You know what I need to do?
Yeah.
I need to make my way the same thing that Jesus said.
Amen.
It's not complicated.
That's right.
Doesn't mean it's easy.
Right.
But it's not complicated.
Amen.
How do we know what Jesus says? Right here.
Right.
Brother Harvey already quoted it to us.
That's right.
He already quoted it to us. That the word of God is inspired.
Yes.
And it's profitable. That word inspiration. That all the scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. That literally means God breathed.
Amen.
That means these words, not only this word as a whole, but these individual words were breathed out by God Almighty. These are God's words.
Right.
So if we want to know what Jesus says, we're in this book every day.
Right. Amen. That's
right.
And what a blessing it is. He made what Jesus said his way. He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And Jesus sent him there.
Amen.
But you know, I think there's a little bit of a picture going on there. He's going to find some great deliverance in the pool of Siloam. But if you think about that pool of Siloam maybe being a picture of a person, who would it be? Who's the one that was sent? What's one of the favorite verses of Primitive Baptists? Found in the book of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Yeah.
And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Who's the sent one? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he sent for? For you and for me, because he loved us. Because we were chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world. And Jesus covenanted with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit to come and to suffer and bleed and die. He was sent for us. Here this man just had a little ways to go to get to the pool of sent, the pool of Siloam. But I'm going to tell you, this Jesus was sent for him and for us.
Right.
He came a lot longer way.
Right. Amen.
He came all the way from heaven and immortal glory because he loved you.
Amen.
And he loved me. What a blessing.
Amen.
What a blessing. People began to ask him questions. His neighbors looked and said, is this the one that's been blind from his birth? Or is it just somebody that looks like him? And he said, I'm he. I'm the one. Then he begins to tell the account. Verse 11, he said, a man that called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. I'm going to tell you where Jesus tells us to go. We need to go.
Amen, yes, sir.
And the Lord burdens us in different ways. There's no verse in the Bible that told Mark Quarles to go pastor Providence Primitive Baptist Church in Stringer, Mississippi. But I'm going to tell you, as I searched the scriptures and I looked at the principles of the Word of God, and as I prayed and as I sought the Lord's face, the Lord burdened my heart that that's where he wanted me to go.
Amen.
What was my job to do? Go. To go where he led me to go.
That's right.
That's what we need to do.
Amen, brother.
They brought him to the Pharisees. The Pharisees didn't want to believe it. The Lord Jesus had healed this man on the Sabbath day. And they said, this man can't be of God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath day. Reminds me of what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 14. He had healed a man on the Sabbath day with dropsy, a man that had been retaining a lot of fluid, and the Lord Jesus healed him, and the Pharisees didn't like it. You know what Jesus said? He said, what man of you? He's got an ox or an ass in the ditch, will not lift it out. If he's in the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lift him out of the pit? You know what those Pharisees said to that? Nothing. Because they knew Jesus was right.
Amen.
They knew they would do it.
That's right.
Now, what was the problem? They cared more about their animals than they did people.
That's right, brother.
You know, we got that problem in the world today. Proverbs tells us that a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. It's a good thing to be kind to animals.
Right. Yeah.
But let me tell you something. It's a bad thing to treat animals better than people.
Amen.
And it happens in the world today all the time.
Amen.
These Pharisees were putting their ox and their ass above people.
Right.
Yeah, we can lift our ox up out of the pit or our ass or donkey up out of the pit, but you can't heal a man on the Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus called them out for their hypocrisy.
Yes.
The Pharisees began to put pressure on this man, and he keeps, throughout this account, he keeps telling this story again and again. And you know what story he keeps telling again? The same story. The same story. You know what we as gospel ministers are to preach to you today? The same thing that was preached before. And the same thing that was preached before. Why? Because it's the truth. You know, one of the things law enforcement officers do when they're conducting a traffic stop and you're trying to figure out, is this guy a drug dealer or is this guy truthful or is this guy telling me a bunch of lies?
Yeah.
You know what a police officer does? He keeps asking the same question in different ways. You know what a man that's telling the truth, you know what he tells? He keeps telling the same thing. You know what a man that's lying does? He tells all kind of different things because we can't remember our lies. We forget them. And that's what police officers do every day. This man's story doesn't change. You know why? He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth. May we always tell the truth. You know, we live in a world where it seems like to the world, truth doesn't matter. Or where it seems like some people think, well, that's true for you, but this is true for me, and it's two different things. The truth taught in the Bible is a singular thing, not a plural thing.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus loves the truth. Matter of fact, he said, I am the truth.
Amen.
He told Pilate, Pilate asked him, what is truth? You know, he was high up in the Roman government, and I'm sure Pilate had heard so many lies. Maybe he didn't know what the truth was. He had heard so many lies. And he said, what is truth? Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. Jesus said, that's why I came, because of truth.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you, we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to hold up the truth. We've always already heard preached to us that we're on a mountain on top of the mountain. You know what the Lord tells us that the purpose of the church is? To be the pillar and ground of the truth.
Right.
Now, what are the pillars of our great pillars of buildings of our great land do? What does the pillars in front of the Supreme Court do? They hold up the building. Now I'm going to tell you, we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to hold up the truth of King Jesus and never be afraid.
Amen.
You know, they're fixing these Pharisees that are putting a lot of pressure on this man. And don't like the story he's telling because it gives honor to Jesus Christ. We've already heard, you know, a man's telling the truth if it gives honor to Jesus Christ. And what this story, this man's telling, gives honor to Jesus, and the Pharisees don't like it. So they call his parents. They said, is this your son whom ye say was born blind? You see, they're already acting like the parents are going to lie. The parents say, this is our son, and we know he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know. You better ask him. Now, did they know? Yeah, they knew. They knew how he saw. Because the Bible tells us the reason they wouldn't tell it was for fear of the Jews. Because the Jews had said, if any man would follow Christ, they'll be cast out of the synagogue.
Right.
So for fear, they won't tell the truth.
Right.
Now, I'm going to make a general statement that I believe to be true. But in this case, it wasn't true. I think, generally speaking, the wisest in our nation are the older ones. I think that people who have lived, and certainly I've been blessed in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to learn much from people far older than me that had walked down the path of life and had seen far more than I've seen. And I thank God for their wisdom, and I look up to them. And older people should be more respected in our country today. I believe that.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you right here, the son did better than the parents.
Right, right.
Because the parents, because of fear, suppressed the truth. But the son kept telling it.
Right.
Now, would to God we'd be like the son on this occasion. That no matter how forceful the world may get against the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we as his church will still hold it up. That we'll never let it be suppressed, but we'll hold up the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. You know one thing that happens in this account is the more the heat comes on by the Pharisees, the bolder he gets. First time he tells the story, he said a man called Christ Jesus. A man that's called Jesus told me to do this, and I did it, and I came seeing. Then later he said he's a prophet. Then we look and we get toward the end of the chapter. And he begins to get bolder and bolder. Verse 27 says he answered them. He's talking again to the Pharisees and said, I've told you already and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? What's he telling them? Why did he use the word also? What he's telling them is, I'm already his disciple. Do you want to be his disciple also? Then they reviled him. They got the message. He's saying, I'm his disciples. Do you want to be his disciple also? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. Yeah, they got that right. Thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. He uses that singular pronoun, he. You know what he's doing? He's giving God all the glory. Even though he had done something in obedience to Christ's command, because Jesus said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and the man did it, he still gives God all the glory. And I'm going to tell you, when we do God what God has told us to do, we still give him all the glory. He deserves it. And that's what this man does. He said, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that is born blind? This had never, ever happened before, that one that was born blind saw. But Jesus, with his miraculous power, did something that had never happened before. They get very angry at the man, and they wind up casting him out of the synagogue. Earlier, they had asked him, where's Jesus? He said, I don't know. He didn't know where Jesus was, but let me tell you something. Jesus knew where he was. The Bible said Jesus found him. And he comes to him. So many times in our life, maybe we don't know which way's up, and maybe we don't know where Jesus is. But little child of God, Jesus knows where you are. And he can come and he can find you and he can deliver you out of the deepest distress we could ever imagine. And he comes to this man and he found him. And he answered and said, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus so clearly revealed himself to this man. He's saying, I am he. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Savior of the world. Here I am. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him.
Amen.
He had already washed in the pool of Siloam and gotten his physical sight. But now he bows at the feet of the man that was sent, that great pool of Siloam, sent by God Almighty to come and to suffer and bleed and die to redeem this man from his sins and to redeem all the elect family of God. What was his response to be? Exactly what he did. He fell down and he worshiped him.
Amen.
What's our response to be to grace? What's our response to be to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent all the way from heaven and immortal glory to suffer and bleed and die for us? We fall down and we worship him.
Amen.
We do like this man. We lift up the truth of King Jesus. And no matter how much the heat of this world gets on us, we lift it up higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
We proclaim it from the top of the mountain that Jesus
finished the work on Calvary's tree. And Jesus has saved his people from their sins. May God richly bless you.